Amen. Thank you, ladies. A beautiful song. Let your life be the proof of your love. Let my life be the proof of God's love. Can we even do that? Does that sound like a tall order, everyone? It does, doesn't it? That's an amazing thing. But we get to be and have that privilege to be a part of that love. We receive that love, and then we have the joy and the privilege to offer that love to others. What an amazing thing. It's sure great to be back in Oregon. We were driving home, and I've never really been in the desert before. And we're coming through the desert. We stopped at a place to eat. They gave us moist towelettes. We took them out, and they were dry as a bone. I think that's a desert thing. So if you go to the desert, you get a moist towelette. Just plan on it being sandpaper, which still does clean, by the way, but it's not as pleasant. Love is really the only reason that any of us are here today. Amen? God's amazing love. How many of you saw the church sign out front? One, two. Let me write this down. Pastor Lauren, may not be necessary. Simply says, Jesus saves. Amen? So, today, the message that is on my heart, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I had a reminder and from my little girl that we need to have a children's story. And so I confess to her right now, I had already planned to. Come on up. So all the little ones that would like to come up and listen to a Bible story, come right up here and have a seat. Everyone is welcome. Hi, guys. So as they're coming, just keep coming. We can fill up this whole area if we need to. Come on over here, guys. It's great to see all of you. And as usual, some of this might pertain to the message, okay? So guys, when you get back to your seats, if mom and dad have, maybe grandma and grandpa, if they don't understand some of it, you can help them out, okay? Have you guys ever lost anything? Really? I've lost my car keys a couple times. Have you lost your car keys? You don't have a car. Your balloons? Yeah? You've lost some things too? Oh, balloons like fly away. Have you ever lost your favorite stuffed animal?
Yes.
And it was, no. Keep that thing close. He has before. A snake? If you, what have you lost?
Or?
Ah, so it's a set, and you've lost one of them, and even both of them sometimes.
I've lost a real cat before.
You lost a real cat.
And it's a baby. Oh man.
She likes
to hide.
Oh, they hide from you.
I always
can I ask you this? What do you do when you lose something?
We look for it.
You look for it. Okay. Sometimes you just have to just take a deep breath and wait a little while. Right? That's good. I'm glad you found it. How long do you look for something? Do you like 5 minutes or 2 minutes?
I do it for a really, really long time. I almost never give up.
I have a story to tell you. So Jesus was talking and teaching, and there was some questions that came up. So Jesus started asking some questions of his own self. And he said, hey, what if you had 100 sheep and one of them got lost?
I'll go look for it and close the pen.
You would, okay. She would look for it and she would close the pen. so he said, wouldn't you close the pen?
Yes.
On the 99? Because if you had 100 and one got lost, you would have 99 left, right?
Uh-huh.
How many of you would say, I've got 99 more. What's one? I can lose that one. No big deal. Would anybody say that?
No.
No? Okay. Don't take sheep for granted. I think this is what you're saying. Right?
I would have left all those sheep and grabbed that one sheep and went back, put it with the 99.
That's right. Because then you would have
100.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes.
And if we lost the brain, we have 97.
Yes.
And if we found both those two,
we have 99.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we're only having this story today because we're going to go down 97, 96. So I think you guys, I really like you guys. And I really think that you guys are on a really good track because you guys would not just leave that lost sheep out there, but guess what else took place in this little parable? You know that Jesus told stories and he called them parables. Remember that? So if you didn't know it, now you do. And so he said, well, how many of you would leave the 99, lock up the pen, leave the 99 and go get the one? And so all of you guys would go do that. And you know what else? The shepherd would go get the one, and when he found him, he would do this. He would pick him up, because did you know that sheep can't find their way home?
Oh my.
They can't find their way home on their own. He would pick him up, put him on his shoulders, and go back to the other 99, and he would call all his friends, and they'd have a big celebration. Isn't that cool? You think you guys would do that? How many times if you lost your stuffed snake or the real kitten or something that you've lost and you get really happy and you're like, woohoo, yeah, and you jump up and down, you wave your hands, and you're like, Mom, Dad, I found it. Do you ever do that? You ever so excited when you find something?
I usually say Mom or Dad, not both, because they split it up.
I see. I understand that. But I bet you're happy when you find things. Yes, you are. And we're happy for you. So this story, I'm going to bring it to a close by saying this. The shepherd goes and finds the sheep because he can't get home on his own, puts him on his shoulders, carries him back to the 99 sheep. Then he has 100, but it's not about 100. It's about this word. He has all of them. Okay, just remember that. He has all of them, all that he had. And so now there's a great big party. And do you know what else? There's a lot of sheep in this area. I love sheep, don't you? They're everywhere. You know what, though? When God, in his love for us, if we ever wander off or if we get lost or if we start, maybe we don't read our Bible or we don't listen to God, and God wants us always to come back. And something else I want to tell you, when people get lost, when people get lost, God says the angels in heaven rejoice when they are found. You guys believe that?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, last one.
If I had 100 sheep and one of them got lost, I would put a leash on it and I would pull it back to the pen. Mm-hmm.
That's very good, because there's always that one sheep.
I would make the fence high because sheep can jump.
They can a little bit, can't they? Well, guys, thanks for listening to my story about the sheep and for sharing your stories with me. You can go back and sit with your mom and dad now. So lately, we've been talking a lot about being on mission with God and being a part of His mission is what our life really is all about. Something else that has come across our hearts and minds is that throughout this summer months, often our attendance fluctuates up and down, and it's wonderful to see all of you here today and such a good number. I know we have extra events going on that bring some folks into town. It's just great to have all of you with us. But I wanted just to give a word of encouragement. How many of you throughout the week, just on a weekly basis, you live life, we all live life, and we go to work, we go to school, we do life, we do certain things, we go to the grocery store, whatever, and we have ups and downs, we get weighed down with life's burdens, and then we come to Sabbath and it's a recharge. Does anyone feel like Sabbath is a recharge? Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing to come and have that day of rest that God has set aside for us? Now, this is just an idea that maybe it helps me to consider it in this way. We generally have summer months where so many people are going, and it's kind of like a 2 or 3 month week, so to speak. And then we have what I'll refer to most easily understood, I think, is a school year, when we don't go a lot of places because we're tied in to a schedule. We have stuff going on. We have guidelines. So just as a word of encouragement, throughout these months where people come and go, and I know we've just been gone, several people you've heard a couple times this morning to conference. In a week or so, there will be 40 people getting on a bus, and all but 6 are from this church. So there's going to be, Lee mentioned, there'll be several people gone a week from tomorrow for camp, and then Seekers Camp afterwards. Probably, I don't know if it'll be close to the same number, but let me just encourage us all. We're out living life. We're out doing the work. We're out pursuing what is the most important thing. And trust me, of all of us, of all of you who go out into the week and you work, we need to come back for Sabbath, amen? And get recharged. And as we live this summer life where we're going and here and there and things are taking place, I pray that the Spirit of God, we're allowing the Spirit of God to work in us and through us to live these summer months where we're on mission and we're going to need to come back to a schedule. So if you come to church occasionally and it looks like, boy, where is everybody? Hang in there and don't be discouraged. Pray for those who are gone, those who are traveling, that they will have opportunities to meet new people and share God's love. Maybe that proof that they sing about, the proof of God's love, is in our life. Let's be out sharing that. And if you're here when there's 50 people here, pray for the other 100 that are out and about, that God would open doors, that we can share His love, that you can share His love, no matter where we are. Amen? In the last several weeks, we heard Pastor Lauren give a message about being a friend of God and truly love like God has loved and not keep people at arm's length. And just last week, we heard from Brother Shane asking us, are we ready? Are we ready for the Lord's return? We hadn't chosen a theme for these months in the summer, but it seems to have come down to some thought of mission and some thought of the basics. And so I guess I feel led to stay there this week. You're all familiar with the Great Commission, where Jesus says to go and teach. Today I want to focus on two words inside of that speech, the words of Jesus, go and teach. And He says, all nations. And quite literally, I think Jesus is saying to us, any and or every tribe or people has the opportunity, would have the blessing to be welcomed to come to him. And as we have talked about going out for the week or going out for the summer or traveling, as we're being sent out, it's yes, we're being sent out. He does promise us to be with us, but he also sets, I think, in this commission, this great commission, this great sending out to go and do and teach, the rules for us to honor and take part in his purpose, Jesus' purpose for coming. And in Matthew 18, verse 11, we read Jesus saying this, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." When we start putting the numbers on that, it's a lot more than 100 sheep in a locked pen, isn't it? We read verses like Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Brothers and sisters, if we understand, and I know that we do, in sin is to be lost. If any and all, if every nation, people, tribe is welcome, what a number that is, right? Those that are lost is what Jesus, or who Jesus came to save. And then I back up in that same book of Romans 3 and I look at verse 10 where it talks about there's none righteous. Wow, he came to do the impossible. He came to do that which just seems like, is there any hope? Is there any possibility that this can even take place? There's another account. We read it, we shared with the children the parable of the lost sheep. And I want to go back to that scripture for just a minute and fill in a couple of blanks in Luke 15. It started in Luke 15, verse 1. It says, "They drew near unto him, and then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." And then the trouble started, right? Because the Pharisees then said, and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners, and he eats with them." And then we have the parable of the lost lamb. And Jesus brought a point to them saying, that's the reason I came, to save the lost. The 99 are in the pen, they're locked up, as one young lady was telling us. She had locked the door, locked the gate. And because that lost lamb has no ability to find the fold, can't find the regain, return to the flock on its own, the shepherd has to go and pick up that little lost sheep. And it says in verse 5, "And when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing." You know, there's something here that I think about as a parent and a child. And the rejoicing that sometimes escapes me. There's that time that we search for our children and we long to nurture them and to put them in a safe place and draw them to a safe place, that when we find them, we scold and warn and are harsh. And I don't know about you, but this is a picture where a shepherd has got 99 sheep that are doing okay. And it'd be really easy to find that lost lamb and just I don't know what you do to a lamb. I guess they don't understand English. But this scripture, and Jesus is saying that the shepherd doesn't do that. And I'm seeing this beautiful picture of Jesus and his love and his tenderness. And he's looking and he's found that lamb and rejoicing. Says he puts him on. He doesn't just say, "Oh, great, I found you. Now get back. Straighten up, fly right, get in the pen, lock the door behind you. I'll see you in the morning." No, he rejoices gently, lovingly, putting the lamb on his shoulders. When he gets home and back to the fold, back to the pen, and to put the lamb, he's like, "Whew, long night, let's go." No, he calls his friends, "Let's rejoice. But the lamb that was lost is now found." What an amazing story. What an amazing lesson. I want to back up in Luke just a few chapters. Maybe to focus a little more on that all nations again, if you'll permit me, verse 27 of Luke chapter 5. It starts saying, reading this way, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, 'Follow me.' And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of..." What? "Publicans and others that sat down with them, but their scribes and Pharisees," here we go again, "murmured against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?' And Jesus answering said unto them, 'They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" And here we have this real difficult thing again, because we've just read all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We read in Romans also there in chapter 3, no one's righteous. So what is Jesus saying? What is Jesus? He's, "I didn't come to call the righteous, I came to call the sinners." Is Jesus saying that there are some that are, they're good and they're fine, they're not all as well? And if he's saying this where the Pharisees are bringing up this discussion, why is Jesus eating with all these bad, terrible people? All these publicans and sinners, all this, why is Jesus doing this? He shouldn't be doing this. And they're shaming them. He's talking to the disciples saying, "This is wrong. Your master, your leader, this is just messed up." And Jesus very pointedly says, "I didn't come to call the righteous." Is he talking to the Pharisees? And I wonder why he would say that if we know that, wow, that's not, their heart's in a wrong place. Do we suppose that Jesus wants to get across to us that the righteousness that he's talking about, even though the word says all have sinned, even though the word says there's not one righteous, there is a righteousness that we can avail ourselves to. And it's the righteousness of Jesus. It's the righteousness of Jesus, and it's the mindset of the people, the sinner, the one who is lost, that says, "No, I can't find my way home. I must have a shepherd. I must have a leader. I must have a savior. And the only way that I can ever come back to the fold is through the blood of Jesus Christ." And what about the 99 that are still saved? Are they the ones that are all well and good and happy and no problems and no worries? No. Brothers and sisters, could it be that the 99 are the ones that live the life and recognize that the one that is good is the Father? And the one that the righteousness that we are able to then connect to the Father through is Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain. The blood that would cover us, cover our sins, bring us to Father. In our brokenness, but yet in the complete and wholeness of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, in a roundabout way, let me just read it and let me see if I can help us understand why I said roundabout way. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. All have sinned. So Jesus is calling all of us. But perhaps there's this extra tone, this extra message that Jesus wants to get across to the Pharisees. Until you recognize your need, that righteousness is a self-righteousness. And I may be calling you, but you don't have ears to hear. We all need Jesus, and we all need to recognize that Jesus saves. We all need to understand what Jesus said. I have come to save, to seek and save, it says in another text, those that are lost. For a while, that confused me a little bit about Jesus saying, I didn't come for the righteous. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you come for all of us? Yeah. Our mission in life is to help others understand, first receive for ourselves the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Know that it's a gift. That the covering, that the blood that he shed covers our sin, does away with our sin, and brings us into right standing with our Heavenly Father. And then from there, that mission goes and we live life. We go out for the week to come and be recharged again on Sabbath. We go forth in the summertime or the travel time, whatever that may be for you. And we allow our light to shine, and our light has to simply give this message that we are those who were lost, but now we're found. And that there is rejoicing when that takes place. In the story of the lost lamb, it says there's more rejoicing over one sinner that is lost than the 99 that are locked up in the pen. Does that mean God is not pleased and happy? And no. No. But we go back to all nations. We go back to any and all people, tribe. It's not about 100 sheep. It's about all that belong to God. Whether we're listening or whether others are listening or not, God is our creator. There's going to come a day that those who don't believe that and don't acknowledge that, they're going to have to face it. Are you that confident in your God? Let's be that confident. He's our creator. He's the God of all. He's the God of creation. He's the mighty God that we serve. He owns us. We talked in class this morning. He owns us. So that we would acknowledge that as we go forth in all of those different times, sharing the love that we have experienced. Will that mission take us and fill us and use us to be a light to all nations, all peoples, no matter who they are, where they are, what they're wearing, what they look like? How many of you have traveled as far as 50 miles from home this summer? All right. Of course, some of you live 50 miles away. So you traveled to church and back. How many of you have been on some type of vacation this summer? You've been somewhere, somehow. How many of you have seen someone that does not look like you? Why are you laughing? How many of you have seen someone that you wished, in your first reaction, looked differently than they do? Yeah. Some of you didn't answer because you know it was a trick. It's a trick thing. Brothers and sisters, when we think about the mission that we're on, and you realize what Christ did on the cross in dying for all, and what Jesus mentioned in as he put forth that great commission by saying all nations, I want us to get ourselves prepared that when we go forth and we drive through the coffee shop window, we go on down to the lake, or we do go to New Mexico, wherever we go, whatever we do, we're not, and please don't, we're not to be looking for people like us. It might sound a little not so nice. Who do you love? Who do you love? I really appreciate the song. I keep going back to it. I'm not getting the words right, but that proof of God's love is in my life. Who do you love? People that look just like me, act like just like me. No, all nations. Not only was the Great Commission to all of us, all peoples, not just your pastor, but it was to all peoples, not just the ones that you think, that guy's worthy of it. Oh, we don't want to go there, do we? Jesus saves. He came to save that which was lost. The angels will rejoice when one sinner comes home. The love of God can reach no further than you and I will take it. The love that is in our life that we've experienced from our Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ can only go as far as you and I will travel. We're a traveling church. Our numbers go like this because people go out and go forth and go there and go yonder. What's going with you? Just your suitcase and your lawn chair? Or is it the love of God? See, Jesus saves, and he told us, and he told the disciples, and he's telling us, that I'm going to go back to my Father, and you're going to do greater things. Well, how can you possibly do greater things than God? How can you possibly do greater things than Jesus Christ? Well, think about it as the mathematical symbol, greater than, less than. We have more time. There's a few 3.5-year-olds here, but most of you that I see are much longer Christians than 3.5 years. Those are the greater things. Take the love that God has put in your life, the love that God has put in your heart. Remember, the absolute most valuable benefit of that is Jesus saves. Pack your bags, get your lawn chair, your beach blanket, and the love of God, and go on mission. Amen? Amen. Ask the praise team to come.